In the introit of today's Mass of the Precious Blood, we sing, Thou hast redeemed us, O Lord, in thy blood, out of every nation, and made us a kingdom for our God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Blood, by blood were we redeemed, the precious blood, out of every nation, to make us into one kingdom for our God. The Catholic Church began at 3 o'clock on Good Friday afternoon on the cross of Calvary in the pierced side of our Savior. It began in his blood. And its work spreads, its work is fruitful only by blood. Our country began in blood as well, and has grown in power and domination over all of the nations of this world only at the price of blood. They celebrated our country's birthday the other evening with a big parade, and the weapons of war brought out probably for the first time since Kennedy's inauguration. Well, so much of our American history is the story of blood and of bloodshed, some of it in a seemingly most noble cause, all of it on the part of the poor soldiers and their bereaved families, with great sincerity. But there are always, behind the scenes, the cynical politicians who pull the strings and profit from wars, and they never have enough. And still are they baiting today for more useless bloodshed. But you know what? While we were celebrating Thursday with firecrackers and barbecues and the red, white, and blue and boilerplate speeches, they were stealing our country as they stole our church. Who? Why, the very organized forces of naturalism. And this they do as they did slowly and step by step, so as you'd barely notice, except if you were paying attention. And then suddenly, it dawns upon you, you are living in the midst of a revolution and it's too late, and look to yourself and your children, they're coming for you. That's how they got our church 50 years ago. Just that. But what a difference 50 years makes. And now the state, they say it's been about 40 years for our country's process. And we know this could never have come out about had the church herself not been subverted first, because the Catholic Church is the pillar on which society rests, and when she shakes, it's a bit like all of those towns in Florida, in California, after the earthquake a few days ago. The whole world shakes with it. So behold, piggybacked on the already insupportable movement for rights, I call them the alphabet people, it's LBJ, QRV, or whatever. You can add your own alphabets and letters to the name if you care to. Now comes suddenly, and in some places already, sternly imposed transgender rights, coming soon to a country near you, imposed by law, by education, by the forceful religion of respectability, the cult of liberty, which means total tyranny. But a country in which such serious erosions of fundamentally important institutions like boys and girls and marriage, in which that happens so swiftly, we may still be talking about freedom or the Declaration of Independence, but we are not free, nor are we self-governing anymore. But if we are to understand where we are, we must remember where we were in the beginning. And what a difference only 50 years can make. But nobody today, so far as I know, is shedding any blood to reverse course, and certainly not to save souls. Let us look at an absolutely unknown page in American history, which is filed under Padilla Padre, Juan de Padilla, proto-martyr of America, the first martyr of our dear beloved land. He was killed in what is today the state of New Mexico, near the settlement of Quivira, its ruins today. Father Chicada and I visited there a few years ago. He was martyred in the year 1543, and he was a Spanish Franciscan, Father Juan Padilla. And this came not even 50 years from the day when the devout Italian, the Catholic Genoese explorer, Christopher Columbus, supported by their Catholic majesties, Ferdinand and Isabella of Spain, departed to find a shorter, more practical way, a trade route to India. Very American, if you think of it. And then found instead America, and claimed it not only in the name of the king who had paid the bill, but in the name of the King of Kings. And America, ultimately, you know, is not named after an Italian map maker, but the saint whose name he bore. He was the son of the king, King Saint Stephen of Hungary, and his son was an innocent and a virtuous prince who died as a young man. And his name is Saint Emeric, and in Latin, that's Sanctus Americus. And that's where we get America. If only America were still Sanctus today. America, what did they find, the Spanish explorers and the fathers? A place deeply enslaved by demons. Today, the Vatican has published what they call a working paper for their next big meeting, which will be in Brazil, on the question of the Amazon. And they have promoted the lie and resurrected the falsehood of Jean-Jacques Rousseau's French revolutionary concept of the noble savage. Leave them alone. They'll not only do fine, but they have a lot to teach us in the way of excellent pagan superstition and nature gods and demon worship and so forth. But what a mercy the good God showed to this new land. In all of the south and central part of America, it was the strangely civilized Aztecs who ruled. Their state religion was demon worship, and their cult was human sacrifice on a massive scale. Their god ate and had to be fed human hearts in the hundreds daily. Brutal demonic pyramids served as their temples, and there were priests there waiting with knives. Hundreds of thousands, mostly captive Indians, were offered to these pagan gods. But how amazed were the Aztecs and their subject peoples to learn from the padres, the Franciscan friars, of the Christian God who does not eat us, but rather feeds us with his own body and blood, his heart. His Eucharistic heart becomes our food, and his temple and its beauty draws us to his home, where he reigns as king and remains as friend and father. And then the good God sends his own mother, our Blessed Lady, and she appears as one of them, as a pregnant Aztec princess, Guadalupe, 1531. And after that, the priests picked up the theme, and scarcely 15 years later, such was the spirit of the mercy of the missionaries, such was their zeal, that they left their newly built conventos, the comfortable cloisters, which make it all sort of pleasant to walk in and pray in during the hot summer months. They left all of that behind to go north over 1,000 miles to the high plains of New Mexico. Maybe it was western Kansas, they're not quite sure. And then they would spread out the Franciscan fathers to the southern part of our country and the Jesuit fathers, French, through the whole northern part, from New York all the way over to Washington and Oregon. They would be missionaries and explorers. They would write maps and save souls yet to be born. And these two things they did in blood, in their own blood, offering at Mass the precious blood, which is the price of our redemption. How did that first martyr die? It was the year 1543, and the conquistadores, the Spanish explorers who were out for glory and for gold, and sometimes a bit for God, such as Coronado, or the curiously named explorer Cabeza de Vaca, which means cow's head. Well, they were looking, tramping around southwestern America, looking for the legendary cities of gold they had been told about. Cibola was the name of that myth. And they never found them, of course. They found only naked savages being savage. So they mostly abandoned the area, but the padres stayed because they saw a certain willingness that the Indians were disposed to the truth, they thought. And then Father Padilla, he wanted to organize another expedition to go a further 3 months' march north because he had heard stories from traders about Indians who were peaceful and humane, which was really saying something. But in the meantime, they had to face and deal with what one writer called the Arabs of the Plains, the Apache Indians. They terrorized, the first missionaries from Cincinnati and Kentucky who had gone out to New Mexico centuries later, the first bishop, Bishop Lamy, and the Sisters of Loreto. One Sister of Loreto died of sheer fright when their stagecoach caravan was attacked by the Indians. And that's how this man died, Father Padilla. He's trying to head north to make more converts, and the Apaches come. He sizes up the situation swiftly, and he falls on his knees, and he urges his companions to escape, and they all escaped safely. And then he set his heart, this priest did, to prayer. He recollected himself, and very soon his brown Franciscan robes were bristling with arrows, and he was dead. That was the glorious end of our first American martyr. He was a great man, not only for shedding his blood, but for the way he lived. He was a man of piety and of zeal, and the proof of that is his influence on the Spanish soldiers. Keeping soldiers behaving themselves as Catholic men is never a small task, but he kept his soldiers in the path of virtue, and they say of him he prevented many disorders. But the devil did not want his kingdom disturbed. And you might say he has returned with a vengeance to reclaim our land. 50 years what a difference for eternity, for church and for state that makes. But as we sang on the way in, blood is the price of heaven. What was the hope of these early missionaries? To bring down greater blessings by shedding their own blood than ever they could have won by their labors and by their lives of dedication. We cannot hope, wrote one unknown missionary, we cannot hope that our projects against the empire of Satan, what clear Catholic thinking is this, will bear fruit until they are watered by the blood of some more martyrs. The early missionaries, what a proud history we have in our land, but how little it is known amongst us. These heroes who never retreated, their fearless devotion and heroic self-sacrifice, the very least you and I could do is to know their history and tell their glory today. The sufferings of this time, after all, St. Paul reminds us, are not even worthy to be compared with the glory to come. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.